Hello everyone, Thief here with a little heads up for this session. First, I wanted to let you know I recorded this session with a different mic than usual, so my audio might be a little quieter or even cut out at some points, just due to the mic sensitivity not being all figured out. We're working on it, hopefully it'll be all fixed for next session. Secondly, this session has a little bit of a time jump in it. The players did some in-world shopping out of game, so the session could focus on exploring Route 35 more. So there will be a point where that jump cut occurs, and there's a helpful audio cue to notify you when that happens. Once again, thanks for listening to Dices and Dexes. We really appreciate it, and thank you for your patience with the delayed release of Episode 7. All that said, here we go. Welcome back to Dices and Dexes. Last time we played Adrian, Desmond, and their new friend Jorah, with Felix still missing. The three of them recollected their Pokemon from the Pokemon Center after the terrorist attack at the Pokéathlon World Championship. After recollecting their Pokemon, they decided to visit the Game Corner in search of Jake, a Event Grounds employee that Adrian and Desmond helped just the day prior, but to no avail. Some money was spent at the Game Corner, and they departed to seek out some final things to do before finishing their business in Goldenrod. One of those things ended up being rediscovering the Nidoran siblings after they mysteriously disappeared, and you all eventually found them at their home forest, one of the metro parks here in Goldenrod City. After a heartfelt goodbye from Adrian, the three of you, as night began to approach, visited the family of Minnie, Kayla, Kibbles, and the father, Ricky, to have a very nice dinner, a movie night, and just, despite the terrible events of the night prior, unwind, relax, and come back to a sense of normalcy. After discussing what the sleeping arrangements were for the night, Desmond, I believe, crashed with Jorah, and Jorah received news that he had to go visit his boss over in Mellon Company Tower. And we're going to pick up the morning of, prior to any of you all doing your shopping, we'll just do that as a jump cut later. For all intents and purposes, Jorah, Desmond, Adrian, you all have woken up. Maybe at some point you've met up in the morning, or if Jorah, you want to immediately head to your meeting, that is also an option.
Okay, I'm going to leave a note for Desmond just saying, hey, I'm at Mellon Company Tower. I gotta meet with the boss. That's where I am, if you were wondering, because it's nice to leave a note before you go anywhere. But I'm going to get to the boss as fast as I can, because you don't keep him waiting.
Yeah, so you leave your little dorm here in Goldenrod City and rush to the Mellon Company headquarters, which is close to the ocean side of Goldenrod. And even though it's the early morning hours, it's still a little bustling with the chaos of yesterday. You didn't necessarily stop in here, but things are still a little out of hand given the events of the past couple days, especially for the Mellon Company, where the rail line was attacked. They've suddenly had an influx of customers and people with sales questions, and one of their top board members is missing, along with some extra stuff.
Having a great time.
The Mellon Company is having a great time. They're having to deal with the unhinged decision of Elite Four member Mellon giving a 90% discount to all travelers, and they are running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to make sure they've got enough stock for everything. That said, Jorah, you enter into the headquarters, speak with the person at the desk, head to the elevator, and go to the floor at which you do all of your research as an intern here for the Mellon Company. As you are in the elevator, is there anything you're doing to prepare?
Mentally? I'm probably just kind of, I take the ascot out of my neck and I tuck it into my bag.
Okay.
Because, you know, stained with oil, gotta look a little presentable.
Mm-hmm. Tuck it away, and as the doors open into the research laboratory floor that you work on, the hallways are quiet, surprisingly. One of the few quiet floors here in the building. Hmm. It's maybe like 8 or 9 a.m.
Well, I'm gonna find, I'm assuming I know where the boss's office is. I've worked here.
Yes. Jorah, I will say, as you're walking through the laboratory, the actual laboratory space where everybody does their engineering, their experiments, and then there's the actual, like, office area where people, you know, work on reports and updates and keeping their notes and journals and everything. Make a perception check as you're just walking through the area, getting a sense of where's the boss, who's here, who's not here, etc.
Gotcha. Or.
In that case, you're gonna notice, Jorah, strangely, of the 8 or 9 interns, last time you did a headcount, Jorah, of all of the desks and the experiments, you're noticing... Oh, wait, you rolled a 4. You ain't noticing anything. You have no details.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like...
I forgot about that. Yeah. You're not noticing anything that tells you about who's here working, who's not working, anything like that. And you just head over to your supervisor's office, which is kind of a glass door room separate from the rest of everybody else's desks. And... inside, you see hand in sketch pad, perhaps working on some sort of design or promotional image, is your supervisor, Daisy Oak, just knee deep in whatever graphical project she is working on.
Well, Jorah is going to knock on the door and just say, hello, you wanted to see me?
She startles, looks up from her sketch pad, looks to you, Jorah, and is like, oh! Jorah, come in, take a seat. And
I walk in, close the door behind me, and take a seat.
So, we wanted to have a chat with all of you interns. I'm just going to rip this all right off immediately. There's only 3 of you right now.
Oh, that's much lower than it should be.
Yes. It seems that in the events of the last 48 hours, about all but 3 of you have been reported missing. The Goldenrod City Police Department is doing what they can to investigate, as is, of course, CEO Melon is doing what he can to pull strings with the Johto Pokemon League to get some extra investigation happening. As we all know, each of you are highly valued students of many of the professors around the world. That said, Jorah, it's just you, Julie, and Mark right now. And as I'm sure you've heard, things are quite chaotic for Melon Company right now.
I could assume as much.
Have you heard about what's gone on with the rail line?
Yes, at least a little bit. I know it's inoperable.
Yes, it seems that at the time that the attack happened here in Goldenrod City, damaging the center of the line, there was also some sort of, whether related or unrelated, some sort of malfunction over in the Olivine City branch of the rail line. And since you're one of our best interns and you've been cooped up in the laboratory for the last couple days, I, after speaking with CEO Melon, we've come to a joint decision that you other interns should, well, perhaps supplement the work of the police, our other engineers, and the JPL, and go out and help restart some of the infrastructure that was damaged in the last few attacks so that the authorities have a little less to worry about on their plate. What we are hoping, Jorah, is that you can travel to Olivine City and help repair the jet train over there with whatever issues they've been able to report.
Of course. Anything to help out.
Wonderful. And
just as a reminder, however, Olivine City, does that have a gym in it, by any chance?
Ah, yes. Gwendolyn heads the gym there. I believe she's something of a fairy-type specialist.
Interesting. Good to know.
She's quite popular with many of the younger kids. She's, from what I've heard, a very successful coordinator on top of being a gym leader.
Right. I'll travel to Olivine as soon as I can to help fix up what I can.
Yes, of course. And once you do complete it, send us any status updates, and we will make sure that you are compensated and Professor Rowan are compensated appropriately for your labor.
Of course. Daisy, ma'am.
It's okay. You know I don't really care for all of the formalities.
I'm aware, but it's... you know me.
I guess. Anyways, Jorah, have a good day. Good luck. And if you need anything, let us know. Stay safe out there.
Of course. You stay safe as well. I'll report back when the Olivine trains are up and running.
All right. And she's going to turn back to her sketchbook.
Jorah's going to leave. And now I have to figure out how we're going to get to Olivine and deal with the fairy-type gym leader as I have to fix a bullet train.
So just as a note, there's no specific timetable on handling the jet train. It's a matter of, and Daisy would have explained this, it's a matter of CEO Melon and Daisy don't necessarily want the interns cooped up, locked up, and nervous about what's going on. They want you all to feel free and able to travel around, deal with whatever anxieties you might be having on your own time at your own pace. So it's also a little bit of, not necessarily PTO, but time off with a task to complete.
You're on sabbatical.
Sabbatical's a good way to put it.
Jorah's on sabbatical, honey.
You're on sabbatical where you can take time you need to do what you want to do, but there is also the you know, corporate expectation that at some point you get around to the jet train.
Well, considering that the jet train is going to be many people's way out of here, Jorah's going to put that a little higher on the priorities than you may think. But that's for when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
So Jorah's just going to, you know what? Jorah has a job to do. He has many jobs to do. Jorah's just going to kind of walk out. He'll wave to people if they wave to him, but he is a determined boy.
Yeah, of course. You might see Julie and Mark as they're walking in. Julie is from Hoenn. Mark is from Unova. But you forgo the chit-chat and head out.
Yeah, I just kind of look at them and just go, hey, stay safe.
Yeah, you too. And Mark just gives you like a hang 10 on his hand.
I'll return the hang 10 and then I will walk out.
Yeah, with that, at some point, Desmond and Adrian wake up.
Yeah.
I would like to go into the Pokemon Center lobby and I'd like to make a call.
Oh, okay. You want to call somebody?
I believe you said it was 50 for a call.
Yes, there is telecommunication for people who do not have Pokegear-like tech. And yeah, it's probably like 50 for a call.
I want to call Blackthorn City. Whoever I would call for the monastery.
So the monastery doesn't have a video feed. So you would probably call actually the Blackthorn City Gym.
I'll call the Blackthorn City Gym.
Okay, mark off 50, and yep. I want you to roll me a luck check.
Yeah, that checks out. That's a 6.
Unfortunately, the telecommunication is going, you're going to see like a loading screen that the circle of dots fills up one time, fills up a second time, fills up a third time, and the screen flashes and says, sorry, we are having trouble connecting to the other device. Here is a refund. Please try again later, and you can get your 50 back.
Gotcha. You said there's no video function, but is there an audio function?
It sounds like there is a communication error, and they weren't able to connect at all.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, that checks out.
It is either Wagyu A5 beef or ice soup.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, Adrian, unable to connect to the Blackthorn Monastery or gym. Apologies for that.
No, that's all good.
It seems like also part of the attack was other infrastructure got damaged that they're trying to fix up. That, paired with the very sudden influx of international communication happening around Johto, is also quite difficult. Cool?
Yeah.
All right. Any other solo adventures?
Nah.
You all meet up! Where are you meeting up?
I presume at the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Sounds good.
You find each other at the Pokemon Center.
I think we should do some shopping and then make our way out.
I agree. I've already got a list in mind.
I as well.
Me too. Ditto.
Clock transition. Wow, we sure did buy things.
If you guys want, just for the listeners, you could maybe describe very briefly what you bought. Not an itemized list, but just like, I bought some of this, some of that, and a little bit of this.
Sure, yeah. I'll go first. Bought some Pokeballs, rations, potions, and a tent.
Pretty much the same here. Adrian went in, essentially followed Jorah around because he's never been in the department store. It's like a child who doesn't want to get lost.
Hold my hand.
And so, yeah, essentially exactly what Jorah buys, but with more Pokemon food because he has two.
Yep. Desmond split off from the other two in the department store, and he got rations, Pokeballs, but he also got a sweet new watch for 90% off because he's a tourist, a tent, a water bottle, and a climbing kit, just in case.
Yes, he essentially has what is called a Melon Bow X1, which is the equivalent of a Poketch or Pokegear. This one is used, which is also why it was so cheap.
Yeah.
So, you all have got your stuff. Smash cut. Boom. Bam. It's done.
We're leaving.
Are you all heading out to Violet City? Or are you going to chit-chat?
Yeah, we're heading to Violet.
To travel off to Violet City, you first have to go north through Route 35, and then at some point you'll have to turn off to the east following Route 36 straight until you pass the ruins of Alf and arrive in Violet City. As you all begin traveling through Route 35, is there anything in particular you want to do flavor-wise for travel, or shall we get right into things?
Get right into things.
Let's just get into it.
Yeah.
We speed running it.
Speed running it. All
Desmond
right.
Looks in his element.
Yeah, Desmond's moving. He knows the way the land works. He's able to move a little faster here.
I imagine it does the thing where, like, Desmond pushes a branch out of the way, then Jorah walks past next and gets hit in the face.
Adrian finally feels like he can breathe out here.
Yeah, it is, I will say, as you're beginning to travel, your first quarter walking through Route 35 has you on the outskirts of the PAWC event grounds to the west. Anything you all are doing in particular?
I'm looking around enjoying the sights. Also keeping my eye out for some Pokemon.
Paula's going to be out walking with me, but nothing in particular rather than just try to keep my mind off things.
Yeah, Silky and Gauntlet are out too.
Yeah, Zephyr is out of his Pokeball, but he is resting on under Desmond's hat because Desmond is not letting him fly around, needs to rest. And Mistral is also out, sort of just floating around peacefully.
Okay, so all of your Pokemon are out. Lovely little image. As you're traveling through the forest at the stretch of Route 35, I want somebody to roll me a
D12. I vote Jorah.
I'll do it. Oh, Jorah can. 11.
11. Okay. As you all as a group are traveling through this first quarter of the PAWC event grounds, all of you make me a perception check.
Gladly.
10.
17.
14.
14, 17, and 10. Okay. So with the 17, I'm going to say, Adrian, you're going to notice this. Something, your intuition stirs, Adrian, and as you're walking along the road, your eyes just can't keep looking away from the event grounds. And you start to notice something amongst the trees.
Oh.
A symbol scratched into them.
Everybody, hold up for a second.
Yeah, and to clarify, Adrian, it's not every tree, but you do notice there's enough to where it's not a natural occurrence.
Everyone, come with me. I see something. I want to get closer to the symbol, kind of quietly, and I want to see what does it look like.
Okay, go ahead and... Well, actually, how are the rest of you reacting? He spoke to you all.
Oh, okay, and I'll follow.
Sure, I'll go with.
I backtrack slightly and follow him.
Great. Go ahead and make stealth checks, guys, if it sounds like Adrian is guiding you that way.
Yeah, talk.
All right. Pretty average.
7.
11.
10. I ain't rolling too well.
7, 10, and 11. You guys aren't being too quiet as you're traveling through past the road. Not exactly. You're not at the event grounds, but you are traveling towards it, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But you follow your intuition, Adrian, and arrive at one of these trees, and what you see is, again, one of these marks looks like it was scratched in either by a Pokemon or by some sort of tool. You're not sure. Make an investigation check, Adrian.
That's a 2.
Adrian, you're not able to make much sense of this symbol. You're not even sure what it's supposed to look like. You're not sure if it's made by hand or by Pokemon, and you kind of, yeah, that's what you know. You know nothing.
I have no idea what this is supposed to look like.
Uh-huh.
If I had to take a guess, it doesn't look like... It's unnatural, though, I can say that.
Definitely, for sure.
I've got nothing to add.
I want to kind of make a perception check, just to see if there's anything in the area, or the signs of movement around this area with the marking.
Make a survival check.
Okay, that is an 8.
Given the chaos of what the event grounds was the last couple days and the fact that GCPD has been scouring the forest around for any signs of clues of anything going on, there's been tons of movement around here.
Maybe... It doesn't seem like anything recent, but other than the obvious, we should keep going.
I concur.
Okay.
I can just kind of pull Cola a little closer just to make sure nothing happens.
Okay. As the other two of you ignore this symbol and turn back towards the road, traveling pretty quickly, with that kind of looming event hanging in your minds, you guys return back to the road and continue on traveling through Route 35.
So, Adrian?
Yes?
I noticed that you seem to have a much easier time talking with Pokemon than the rest of us. Why is that? Are you just good?
Oh, well, I was trained in the Dragon's Den, where I met Silky. There we spent most of our time around each other and our Pokemon and Pokemon of the Den. And so it's something some of us pick up over time.
I'm going to be honest, I was not expecting that answer. I was just expecting I'm good.
How did you get so good at what you do?
Well, depending on who you ask, I'm still not. But a lot of hard work, dedication, and a lot of late night studying. A lot of late nights. Oh, reminds me, tangentially, if we're going to be taking on the gym challenge, we're going to head to Olivine eventually.
Yes.
I've been asked by the Melon Company to help fix the trains over there, so that's something we're going to have to deal with.
That's good, because you know technology like that.
Yes.
Right?
Well, in theory. I'll figure it out.
That's all we can
do. We believe in you,
Jorah. Thank you, Desmond.
Well, I'm going to try and help, as much as I may not. I can help if anything needs picked up.
See, that we'll probably need, though much more than that I really can't say until we get there.
Yes, it will be quite some time.
Also, gym leader, fairy type. Make a mental note of that.
Adrian's eyes go wide.
Oh, that's yes, going I'm to saying, be rough for you, Adrian.
I'm telling you this now so you can prepare for later.
Thank you.
Maybe Silky just sits out of that one.
I look down at Silky. Silky looks up, not excited about fairy typing.
I don't think Gauntlet's going to fare much better.
No.
Well, the fairy types basically get to do anything they want.
We'll see how. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like when we get there.
Just be aware of that.
Thank you. Thank you ahead of time.
Can't wait for the anime moment where Silky has to face the entire team.
After some warm chit-chatting amongst yourselves, eventually you make your way past the PAWC event grounds entirely and begin to go into the... You're not even in the outskirts of Goldenrod City anymore. You're way well beyond that, well into the wilderness, and you begin to notice that actually, just past the PAWC event grounds, there's actually a really nice lake off to your west. It doesn't necessarily directly connect to the ocean. There's maybe a river that feeds into the ocean, but this lakeside seems to be popular with picnickers, and a ridge to your right overlooks that lake from the east, allowing a very nice view from atop. As you all are traveling through this forested area with the ridge and this lake, somebody roll me a d12.
I'll do it this time.
Yeah, you get it.
Woo!
D12. 8.
Jorah, roll me a d20.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
5.
5.
Oh no.
As you're traveling along this lake, shouting out from a little platform along the ridge, just like looks like a stony outcropping, a strange man with a gray beard. He's throwing some mushrooms in a pot and shouts out to one of you, "You! Do you crave mushrooms?"
Excuse me?
Mushrooms. They aid all who seek injustice. Do you seek justice? Do you seek mushrooms?
Okay, unironically, Jorah kind of perks up at that. Justice how?
They aid you in seeking justice. They give you nutrients, and he flexes his muscles. They stimulate your brain! And he puts his index fingers pointing towards his mind, flexing his face muscles.
Think.
Think, Mark, think, exactly. And they fill your tummy with vital flavor and carbohydrates and whatnot to give you further health.
Well, that sounds good.
I want to insight this guy. Is he trying to sell us something, or is he genuinely just want to share mushrooms?
Make an insight check.
Hey, kids, do you want these mushrooms from a stranger?
That's a 12.
You've seen over-enthusiastic salesmen. Usually, it's a little fake what their interest is. This man is, like, dressed up. He's got this really scraggly gray beard, but the rest of his outfit just screams, this is a man who loves living in the wilderness. This is a man who genuinely probably thinks mushrooms are, like, the superest superfood that ever superfood.
I think it's fine. He likes mushrooms. I can tell.
So, let's say I was interested in these mushrooms. Are you offering them to us, or...?
Yes! It would be so wrong to not share these mushrooms, this stew, this soup that I am making, with what seem to be a bunch of strapping young lads traveling along the road.
You know what?
Well, thank you so for your hospitality. We appreciate it. I will take some.
Sure, why not? I suppose we have nothing better to do.
All right, all you have to do is reach me up here.
Oh, he's on top.
He's on this stony outcropping, not quite all the way at the top of the ridge, kind of like maybe two-thirds of the way up.
Hey, I've got a climbing kit. I'll use my climbing kit.
Make a climbing kit check.
Okay, what is that?
D20 plus your climbing kit modifier.
Sweet climbing kit check.
Hey, yo.
23 climbing kit check.
23, yeah, with very little trouble, Desmond, you are able to climb up to this man's little stony outcropping, and as you get up there, you're hit with a waft of earthy smells, and the rich flavor hangs in the air of what promises to be a very delicious soup. Make a nature check as you look at the soup, though.
Ah, nature
check. Can't wait for it to be like, this is every mushroom that will kill you.
No, it's gonna be like, this is every Amoongus.
It's Amoongus. 11.
Okay, as you're looking at this stew, it looks like stew.
Hey.
It looks delicious. Oh. It's bubbling with warmth. And as you say that, it's incredible. This gentleman simply says, yes, well, I only have enough to spare for one of you. Are you the one who would like it?
I, like, look back over my shoulder at my friends, and then look back over at him.
I mean, you bought the climbing kit, yes. You made your way up there.
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Do you have a Pokemon who can share in this with you?
Oh, yes. I'll let Zephyr out of my hat.
And he's going to take a scoop out of the pot with a ladle, and he's going to pour it into one larger bowl and one smaller bowl, and he's going to place both in front of you, and he's going to say, eat up, lad!
Looks delicious. I will dig right in to this stew.
I need you and Zephyr to make constitution saving throws.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
This is for Desmond, and this is for Zephyr. Oh, okay. So, 6 for Desmond, and then nat 20 minus 1 for 19 for Zephyr.
Nice, 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 nice. The one who really needed to pass was Zephyr. So, congratulations, Desmond. You take one sip of this stew. You don't like the taste. It's a little too bitter for your liking. It's like, it doesn't have any of the richness or sweetness that, like, say, Colossian stew would have. And you just, not a fan of it. That said, while you're stomaching it down or just pushing the bowl to the side, up to you. While you're eating, Zephyr is chowing down into this thing, which is really awkward to see a bird with a beak absolutely scarf down some stew.
Oh, Zephyr, looks like you really needed this.
Make a perception check as you're watching Zephyr scarf this down and as Zephyr is eating this stew.
Okay. All right, 7 perception.
Desmond, you're not able to notice. It is there, but you don't notice this. There is a black steam and aura coming off of Zephyr as he is chowing down on this stew. And you can go ahead and if you would like at some point, Zephyr can, we can talk about it after the session, but Zephyr can learn payback.
Ooh, oh sick, sweet. I mean, I also, Desmond is probably slowly eating his stew. You know, he's eaten stuff that he didn't necessarily like for the sake of, you know, multi-day hikes, whatever. So I would like to, he'll eat the stew more slowly than Zephyr for sure. And if you need me to make a charisma check or something to see if I can pretend not to hate it.
If you want to make a performance check, you may, since you used the word pretend.
I just want to see how good at... Yes, I want to see how good at masking Desmond is real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And while that's happening, I want Adrian to roll me a d20.
Oh, gladly.
12.
12, okay. Desmond, yeah, you're able to mask it pretty well. And the weird mushroom guy, just with a big smile across his features, is like, I'm glad you liked it, lad. And he turns to Zephyr and is like, I'm really glad you really liked it. You're a very hardy young bird there. I love the Zephyr noises. That's great.
Thank you. Merci, sir. Have a good night.
Oh, it's still plenty of time in the day. Hopefully more travelers will enjoy the stew. But yes, thank you, young boy.
Oui. I mean, have a good night anyway, but have a good rest of your day as well.
And he starts humming a little song as he's throwing just random, seemingly random mushrooms into this stew and filling it up with random broth and whatnot. And you're like, whatever potion that man is mixing is terrible tasting.
Yes. Smells great. Tastes terrible.
Yep. You start climbing back down while that's happening. Adrian, what'd you roll on that d20?
I rolled a 7.
All right. While that's happening, Adrian, Jorah, while you guys are down on the ground, you notice there's just a big giant pine cone that falls off a tree from atop the ridge, clunks down some of the rocks, and just rolls from momentum along the road. Big pine cone. Size of a whole dog.
Big pine cone?
I'm gonna tap Jorah on the shoulder. I see a pine cone over there. It's like massive. I wanna check that out.
Do you want me to come with you? Or
yes, of course. We're not having soup right now.
All right. Desmond.
Oui?
Adrian and I are going to go check something out. We'll be back in a minute.
Oh, okay.
And I will follow, Adrian, I don't know how I forgot your name.
But yeah, we're gonna go out to the road and see what this big pine cone is.
Yeah, you go out over to it and you notice that it stopped rolling at this point. And it's this, again, about the size of a dog, just big pine cone. Looks like it stopped rolling on the ground, kind of got maybe momentum ran out, got stuck on some rocks. And
can I make a nature check to determine if this is natural for a pine cone or if this is something else?
Make a nature check, Adrian.
It's a natural 20.
Adrian, you have not seen many of these Pokemon because it's hard for them to get up to the monastery, but you are aware of it just due to maybe a random trainer match you saw gym leader Claire battle in. And the trainer had brought this rather large pine cone Pokemon called Pineco. And it seems that this Pineco here on the road may be one of the same species.
Jorah, that is a Pineco. It's a Pokemon that is from this area. It hangs in trees and...
Jorah just looks at it. I don't believe you.
What's it doing? Is it napping? Did it intentionally roll out here?
Right now, this Pineco or Pinecone, depending on who you ask, is just there on the road.
Okay, I would like to approach it with Silky. Kind of carefully, trying not to make myself a threat.
Stealth check, or no, performance check. I feel like that's a better thing for making yourself not seem like a threat.
That's a 14.
Adrian, you're pretty chill, dude. It comes naturally to you. As you approach this thing, Adrian, this Pineco, you and Silky slink up to it rather slowly, peacefully, not making any sudden movements, and rather casually. And as you kind of step within about 10 feet, two big eyes are going to open along this pine cone and look around, kind of confused. It can't really, like, you know, turn its head, but the eyes look to the left, look to the right, look up, look down. And then this Pineco stands up and sees you, and its brow furrows at you, Adrian.
Hello. You seem to have fallen out of your tree. Do you want to go back to your tree, or are you here lying on the road?
I'm continuing to approach it.
As you approach it, it starts to glow with energy.
Oh no.
Inside is
Adrian, I wouldn't get closer.
Exploding.
I'm backing up. I'm backing up.
As you backpedal, the energy dissipates.
Jorah's gonna approach Adrian, put a hand on his shoulder, and just, hey buddy.
Yes?
I don't want to mess with this thing anymore.
But I want another friend.
I understand you want a lot of friends. This is not a friend. This is a foe, if anything. I mean, if you want, you can throw a Pokeball at it. It might work, but it also might just start fighting us. I prefer my everything where it is.
Could I make a check to determine why it was glowing? Like, what move that might be?
Nature check.
Okay, that's a 10.
One of the things you saw in that battle with Claire was that that Pineco, its kind of final move against Claire's own Dratini was actually a rather powerful move called self-destruct.
You would have straight up died.
I'm gonna put my hands out. I'm not here to hurt you. You're in the middle of the road and the people who are gonna be walking by, they don't want to hurt you, and it's dangerous for you to be out here with them. Do you want to go back to your tree or somewhere in the woods? I could help you there.
Persuasion check?
Okay.
Not a high DC. Not a high DC.
It's a 6.
A 6. What you see, this Pineco hops along the ground toward the ridge, hops onto a small outcropping on the ridge, jumps off it in a way to where it lands, it begins to roll. Make an insight check as you see that whole thing happen.
That's a 16.
Okay. And then Jorah, if you want to make one as well.
16.
Hey, yo!
Both of you realize what this Pineco is trying to do. He's trying to practice rolling on the ground to move around faster.
That's kind of base, not gonna lie.
Do you want to get stronger?
Oh, you're trying to get faster and build and help build up speed. I see.
Runs up and boots it. I do not do that. For transparency, I do not do that.
Do you want me and my Pokemon to help you? Perhaps challenge you to a race or something?
Make a persuasion check with advantage.
That's a 9.
That's still pretty good. The Pineco will do, but in an affirmative way.
Gotcha.
Before it was, now it's,
Exactly.
I'm glad that Pineco only communicates in...
Silky, you got the last race back at the PAWC. Gauntlet, come out!
As Gauntlet... Well, wait, Gauntlet was already out. So Gauntlet just comes down and climbs down my shoulder as... stands there affirmatively eyeing the Pineco. Gauntlet is ready.
Can you just... this... For my own entertainment, can you make a constitution check for Gauntlet? And I'm going to make one for Pineco as they have a staring contest.
Oh, gladly.
Amazing.
11.
It's pretty close, but Gauntlet beats it out. And now it's back to the, not in an aggressive way this time, just like in a, darn it, I lost.
All right, there's still the race. Right, Gauntlet?
Go ahead. How is Gauntlet going to race this thing? Is it just going to be a foot race?
Yeah, it's going to be a foot race, yeah.
So Gauntlet's just going to do a regular run. I want her to make a dexterity check. I'm going to make a dexterity check for Pineco, which doesn't have a good modifier.
Oh, same here.
The dice say what the dice say.
I rolled a 5.
I think this might be a tie. And these two are so slow. Like, Pineco gets a little bit maybe of a head start thanks to the ridge technique, but then it quickly has to start just hopping on the ground, like, a couple feet at a time, and Gauntlet is just kind of moseying along, not really taking it too seriously.
Can Mistral win accidentally?
Make a speed check for Mistral.
Just accidentally?
Again?
It's been...
Time?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, make a speed check for Mistral. Wait.
How do I make a speed... How do I make a speed check? Just
dexterity.
Dex check?
Dex check, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Dirty 20.
Yeah, Mistral joins in the race about halfway through and ends up beating the other two by a country mile.
I love it.
Well, Pineco, it seems you and Gauntlet here were tied. And then, as I see Mistral seems to have won, unofficially.
Jorah, meanwhile, watching all of this. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Do you want to come with us? There will be more Pokemon to race.
I'm going to go check in on Desmond, see how he's doing.
Make a Pokemon handling check for me, Adrian. Okay. Don't tell me the result until I tell you to tell me. You guys can roleplay Desmond and Jorah doing stuff while I handle this. It'll take a moment.
Okay.
Jorah just kind of walks back. Did Desmond climb down, or is Desmond still up there?
Yeah, I'll probably be climbing down while he's walking back.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello, Jorah. Where's Adrian?
Do you want the short answer or the long answer?
There's a long answer. What is it?
Well, we found a pine cone. Adrian then raced the pine cone, and I think they're friends now.
Oh, what?
I'm good, just
good
as lost
for
as...
for him. Interesting. I've heard of people keeping pet rocks. Like,
oh,
not
sorry.
Pokemon rocks, just rock, but,
no,
but
it's,
never
it's
pine
a
cone.
It's a Pokemon, at least we're fairly certain.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Are you any Mistral anywhere?
So about
I
that,
track of her.
I know where she is. She won the race.
Oh, okay. Back up. There was a race?
Yes. Adrian sent out Gauntlet and raced the pine cone, and Mistral won.
That sounds like Mistral. That makes sense. She is impossibly fast when it matters the least.
Aren't we all? Anyways, you want to go catch up?
Oui, yes.
I'll lead Desmond back to where things are happening.
Yeah, it's just a couple dozen feet away from you guys as you turn towards where Adrian is. You are going to see him clock a Pokeball against this Pineco, and it's going to shake 3 times and click. But yeah, Adrian caught Pineco.
I know exactly what I'm going to name Pineco. The name is Monica, after Santa Monica. It's a hill.
Oh, okay.
It's a hill.
Monica. Okay, Monica the Pineco. There you go. Bravo. And with that, you all have rejoined. And as you capture Pineco, I'm going to say, your 3 Pokeballs are going to kind of lock and begin to shake. You have to send one back to the PC, as your trainer ID only allows you to carry 2 at a time.
I'm gonna turn to Gauntlet.
Gauntlet, how about you rest for a little bit after all the craziness that just happened?
As Gauntlet's gonna return.
Gauntlet gets swooped up into her Pokeball, and the Pokeball gets ported off into cyberspace. All right, the floor is yours, guys.
Oh, you got another one, Adrian. Good job.
Yes, I did. Thank you. It's a pineco. I named her Monica.
Oh, I think it's a pine cone? What did you say?
No, it's a pine hoe.
Oh.
Jorah's gonna just lean in. It's a pine cone.
Desmond just said, oh, Kelosian is full of silent N's. I thought you were just pronouncing it wrong.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That makes me chuckle.
But good job. The pine cone.
Yes.
Pine cone.
So it's a fast pine cone. It beat Gauntlet in a race?
It tied with Gauntlet. So
it tied. Oh, okay.
There's going to be that rivalry budding.
Mistral, I heard you won another race. Good job. She's happy. She just looks happy. Doesn't make any noise. She doesn't know she won a race. She just knows that I'm congratulating her.
Based.
Should we get a move on then?
Yes, we should.
Just about. Also, if we encounter any more Pokemon on the way, do let me know. I've been meaning to get a second Pokemon to play with Cola.
As you guys begin traveling back down along Route 35, eventually midday afternoon's gonna come to a close. At this point, I'm saying mark off whatever rations you have. Pineco, Monica will still need some Poke food, Adrian, so mark off something for her. And it's just one human ration and a number of Poke rations equal to your Pokemon on you.
Okay. Was the stew filling at all, or was it just...
It's filling for Zephyr and for you, yeah.
Ooh, yay. Glad I did that.
Eventually, after snack time, though, you're going to leave this lakeside area, continue on, and as middle of the afternoon sets in, you're gonna enter back into a thicker part of the forest where trees all around, not so many power stations here. You're over a half day's out from Goldenrod City at this point, so there's not as much electrical infrastructure out here. You're traveling along into this thicker part of the woods. Somebody roll me... I'm going to say a d20 on this one. This is
I not... got it.
Yeah, go ahead. Jordan, didn't you roll the last couple?
12.
12. Okay.
He was volunteered for the first one. He rolled the second one.
And then I just took this one.
Eventually, what you guys are going to see is you guys are going to actually pretty suddenly up ahead, you're going to see a clearing up ahead, and you're going to hear a lot of shouts, a lot of laughter, a lot of voices coming from the clearing in the parting of the trees up ahead.
That sounds lively. What's going on?
I don't know. Is this the rowdiness they told us about that was going to be on the road?
I don't know. We can go see.
I don't see a reason not to at least introduce ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah, as a reminder...
What are you worried about? You have 3 Pokemon.
I have 2.
Also, as a reminder, I said laughter.
Yeah. I'm more nervous about people.
Do you guys continue on?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Go see the laughing people.
Yeah, it's along the route, it's along the road, and as you enter into this clearing, maybe about a half mile in radius and whatnot, this clearing in the forest filled with pop-up tents with entertainers. Some of them are like breathing fire. Some of them are using high-tech gadgets to perform aerial stunts. It's a crazy, crazy circus out here.
Wow, that's what is, why is this here? This is crazy.
Yeah,
I must agree.
Jorah's just gonna kind of clap, like, give applause.
Oh, it's the whole clearing. You guys just entered the clearing. You're not, like, in front of any show going on right now.
Wow. This is more joy I've seen in one place in the past few days than I don't know where this sentence was going, if I'm being honest, guys. I'll go up to an entertainer. I want to find someone who's performing and stand in front of them.
I'll say you find a fire breather. He's got a big old torch that he's using to breathe fire and do some cool tricks and stunts in front of the crowd. And it's not a lot of people. All in all, there's maybe like 3 or 4 tents around here, you know, some pop-up tents. And he's one of them, just totally blasting flames in the air. At one point, he makes it look like a little dragon comes out of the fire, which is crazy to you.
Wow. Whoa. That's crazy and amazing. I love it.
So how many people are in this group?
The circus or just in the clearing in total?
In the clearing in total, I guess.
Clearing in total, maybe about amongst the entertainers and any others. I'd say maybe like 13, 14 people, not including you all. Some of them look like they might have been picnickers who came out from the lakeside, or just some hikers passing through.
Wow. Good on them finding a good time in the situation of their legion.
I suppose that everyone finds a way to de-stress, though I am a little concerned as to the size of that fire.
He's not under the tent, is he?
No, he's out in the open. The tent is more for, like, resting from the sun, for him at least.
Do you think they have apple bobbing?
Apple bobbing? I've never been, but it sounds fun.
But if you guys want to look around for, like, stuff to do, you can make perception checks.
Yeah, are there any of those, like, rigged carnival games?
Everybody make perception check.
11.
16.
Analysis paralysis for a 6.
Adrian, there's so much to see here. Make a perception check for Silky.
Gladly.
And while that's happening, Jora and Desmond, you're going to see, obviously, there's the fire breather. There's one of these people using high-tech gadgets to do some aerial acrobatics. And then there's another guy, looks like some sort of juggler, where he's using some devices to actually change the shape of the objects he's juggling as he's juggling them. So really demonstrating some really good skill. And then just off to the side, keeping an eye on things, just because it is a large group of people, there's one officer standing off to the side, which you see. And there are a couple games, not necessarily apple bobbing, but somebody is doing a cup swapping game. That's what Jora and Desmond see.
You know what? Let's go gambling. I'm going to go over to the ball and cup game.
Okay, Jora, can't Cola, doesn't he have like X-ray vision or something?
No.
No? Oh, I must have read something wrong. Misinformation.
That's... Cola can glow.
Unless Cola is suddenly a psychic type, then I don't think so.
I read that somewhere. I'm sorry, don't make fun of me.
It's alright. I mean, I don't even know what it evolves into, so maybe it does become a psychic type.
Yes, Jora is gambling.
Yeah, gambling.
Yeah, he's got like a little purple and black outfit going on, and he's just got a couple cups in front of you, and he says, you want to play?
Sure, I'll give a game a shot.
All right, and he places a coin on the table. It looks like it's got a little eye at the center, is like the design on the coin. He says, keep your eye on the coin. He's going to, without moving, one cup is going to cover the coin, and then two cups are going to be put right next to it. And then without moving his arms, this man begins to cups around. I want you to make a perception check.
Let's go. I'm a pop jerry-rigged knowledge.
Okay.
From Tad by Proficiency Bonus, so I will make this with a +3. That is a 6.
Jora, you have lost track of this cup at some point, the cup with the coin. There's the left, the middle, and the right. Which one do you select?
Left.
As you say that, Jora, the cup hovers off the table that this man has set up on, and there is no coin under there. He simply says, I'll do double or nothing.
How much was it for the first game?
I would say like 50.
Yeah, sure. I'll drop 100 poke dollars.
They're not trying to rob people, they're just trying to have some fun. Go ahead, make a perception check again.
Another one. Do I do it again? I can do it one more time. I'll pop Jerry Rig knowledge again. Why not? It's not like I'll need this later.
LOL.
I'm saying this in natural 20. I genuinely didn't need it.
Jora, you somehow missed it the first time, but this entire table is motorized. There's a code running through it to make these cups move around. This isn't some psychic, as if anything like
that
could exist.
He's a phony!
Like many people, he's using high-tech stuff to do high-tech stuff. But once you figure that out, your brain immediately goes into engineer mode, and you're able to deduce perfectly the pattern that this thing is operating on. And before it even stops shifting, you make your guess. It's probably going to be on the left this time.
Oh, wait, it's using the Gary pattern. Left.
And the guy gets startled for a moment, but he's like, huh? And as eventually the cups stop, the left cup goes and begins to hover once more. And what do you know? There is the coin. And in fact, oh, you're really smart, dude. Here's your 100 back.
I'm just going to kind of nod my head and go, thank you. And may I say, you're very good at this. I just catch on.
Chance to be a little evil here, but I'm not going to take it. Walks up to Adrian. Hey, you should try this.
What was that perception check from Silky?
That was a 12.
Okay. Silky's going to towards behind one of the tents.
I'm going to follow Silky.
Yeah. While you're doing that, Desmond, did you want to do anything?
Oh, I was watching Jora.
Oh, okay, cool. Silky pulls you behind tents, and as you're approaching, make a perception check as you begin to hear some sort of noise, but you're not able to make it out immediately.
Okay. 15?
As you're going behind this tent, this is maybe like one on the further reaches of this little circus encampment going on here. And what you begin to hear is what sounds like a rock scraping against something.
I want to investigate further.
You follow Silky around and turn to the backside of this tent, and what you see is a small grayish green creature, a rock, sharpening a piece of bone. This creature has two tusks exiting out of its mouth in a horizontal manner, one to the left, one to the right.
I make a nature check.
You may make a nature check, my friend. Actually, I should correct myself. One tusk going off to the left.
Okay, that is a 7.
You don't know what this is. You have never seen a Pokemon like this where it's only got, where it's this small little runt of a Pokemon with one tusk pointing horizontally out.
Adrian's gonna kind of get on his knees. Hello there.
As you say this, the Pokemon gets startled. The rock it was holding gets thrown into the air, and this piece of bone also goes flying. It's like, and then it's scattering its gaze around looking for where the rock and the bone went. It's like Velma looking for her glasses.
I hold my hands out. No, it's all right. It's all right. I can help you find it.
Make a Pokemon handling check.
That's a 10.
As you're like holding your hands out like, no, it's okay. It's okay. This Pokemon is going to jump back and growl like, nah, startled by you. It got thrown off pace rather suddenly, and then you started waving hands around.
Can Silky go in and try and like help calm this Pokemon down?
How would Silky like to try and do that?
Silky's gonna approach non-menacingly and just act like it's looking around the area, but mainly just checking on this thing, keeping its eye on it, making sure it is okay.
Okay,
so
I want to understand, how is that going to calm this thing down?
The intention is for Silky to be unalarming and start helping as a way to calm this thing down.
Okay, make a performance check for Silky.
That's a 10.
That's brutal. Let me roll. Okay. As Silky begins to very obviously begin looking around, elongating her dragon neck to peek around crates and up atop the tent, I'll say Silky finds the rock that this creature was using, but not the bone.
Silky's gonna, like a snake, tongue out and gesture down to the rock. Silky's gonna try beckoning it to pick up its rock.
Yeah, Silky passed her check, and this creature, this little runt, sees her pointing at the rock and just kind of scurries over and grabs the rock and like holds it tight.
Okay.
And like kind of looks at Silky a little suspiciously, but not too suspiciously, and like looks at you, Adrian, very suspiciously.
Adrian's gonna back up a bit. Do you want to see if we can find that bone now?
It stares at you, still suspicious. Silky helped it, but Adrian did not.
Adrian has extra poke food. He's gonna hold some out.
Make a Pokemon handling check. I'm gonna say DC 20.
Okay, that's fine.
Because this thing doesn't care about food right now.
Okay. That's a 23.
It'll take the food, but then it is still going to turn away from you, and it's going to start looking for its bone again. It seems it doesn't really care about the food. It wants to find its bone.
I'm going to look for the bone, not in this area, but in a different area, and have Silky search alongside it.
Where might you be searching? Because there's a lot of different areas.
That's true. So we're inside of a tent, right? Or is it the backside of one?
You're the backside of a tent. Okay. You're on the edge of this little circus. You're on the backside of a tent, closer to the forest than any other area around here. And when you startled this thing, the rock and the bone went flying.
I want to search more towards the forest. Well, Silky's gonna search along the tent itself.
Make an investigation check for both of you.
Okay, so that was a 12, and then Silky's is a 7.
Neither of you find anything, whether that's because it is in that area and you just didn't happen to see it, or because it wasn't in that area at all, you don't know. But neither of you find anything after about 10 minutes of looking. And at this point, right, Jorah and Desmond, you don't know where Adrian is.
Oh, man. Well, he's lost. Don't want to send Zephyr to go get him because he needs to rest still. Do you have any ideas, Jorah? We didn't set up a rendezvous.
No, I've not really...
There aren't
really
that many people. We could just yell.
I would save yelling for later. Let's just ask around to see if they've seen him.
Go, that's a better idea.
George is gonna walk up to, like, the first person he can find and just tap him on the shoulder, get their attention. Pardon me. Have you seen a young man, stark white hair, carrying around a Dratini?
Let me see if this person has seen him. They think, I thought I saw him lurking around some of the backsides of the tents. Honestly, kind of a weird dude.
Yes.
That's understandable. Thank you. Jorah's going to start walking behind the tents.
If you both want to make a perception check.
Okay.
I'm not going to use Jury Rage knowledge. Normal roll.
Wait.
17.
13.
Yeah, you guys are able to find the Silky and way off in the distance, closer to the forest, Adrian. Seems like Silky was looking for something you notice in particular, Jory, but you're not sure. It's just the vibe you get is it looks like Silky is searching for something.
I'm going to walk up to Silky, and I'm just like, I'm not going to say much. I'm just going to say, hello, Silky.
Silky also is going to get startled.
Oh, no.
Hey, it's all right. Just looking for Adrian.
Silky looks off in the direction of Adrian.
Thank you. And I'm going to move in the direction of Adrian.
I am too. Except I'm running.
All right. Desmond, you'll reach Adrian first.
Adrian! Hi, what are you doing?
There was a Pokemon. It got startled when I approached it, and it lost its bone and rock. We found the rock, but we can't find the bone.
Oh, this Pokemon must have quite the arm if you're all the way out here looking for a bone.
Could you guys help me? I don't want to have this Pokemon lose one of its favorite things.
Okay, what did the bone look like?
Oh, it was like a small bone.
It wasn't necessarily... It kind of looked like it was being shaped into some sort of wedge. Looks like maybe it was being sharpened down on the other end to a point.
You described that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We can look around, I guess. I'll help.
Yes. I'm going to go back towards the tents and kind of search there. I don't think it's out this far.
Yes, well, actually, important question first. Where was it when it lost its things?
I walk them there and I show them.
Yeah, I will say at this point, you're not seeing where that creature is.
Oh, no.
Can I make a perception check?
You can make a perception check, but it seems that a few too many low rolls has led to it moving off to search for the bone on its own.
Yeah, that's a 14.
A 14. I'll make a contested stealth check. He rolled though. You see it is off towards a different tent, still searching, trying not to be spotted.
Hmm.
I want to go up to Silky.
Oh, Silky.
Could you go up and talk to it? Silky's gonna slither on over. Also, try not to be seen, at least by people.
Yeah, you're on the backside of the tent. I'm not gonna make Silky roll a stealth check.
Silky's gonna tongue out, motioning that she wants to help.
Make a persuasion check.
Desmond
something where
looking
it's
for the
it's
in the area that he said he dropped it.
Make an investigation check, Desmond.
Okay.
It's one of those things, Adrian, where Silky's already tried showing that she wants to help, so there's gonna be limited returns on doing this a second time.
Yeah, I got you. That's a 13.
Responding to Silky, this Pokemon nods and waves Silky to go investigate in some direction.
Okay, Silky's gonna search behind some other tents, but also looking up to see if it may have gotten stuck on the side of one.
Make a perception check for Silky since she's looking around. Desmond, what did you get?
I got a 17 investigation. I'm just sort of trying to look around the area where Adrian showed us that he was when he lost it, and out to a distance that Desmond thinks he could have reasonably thrown it in a fright.
With that distance, are you looking out towards the forest or are you looking back towards the circus? I'm trying to get a sense of the area Desmond's searching.
Okay, I'll search around in the forest out to whatever distance I think the Pokemon could have potentially thrown it.
Yeah, and it's a clearing, so you're not actually in the forest searching. You're just looking around the clearing as you're heading towards the forest. Desmond, you don't find anything.
Okay.
What did Silky roll?
Silky rolled a 3.
Okay, Silky's searching and not having any luck.
Jorah, do you want to search around the inside of the circus?
Right, I probably should do that.
3.
With a 3. No luck finding this bone.
Should I also roll for searching inside the circus?
Yes, you may.
Okay. A 17.
Adrian, after a very long series of searching and finally turning your attention towards the circus, you're looking around nearest tents and around some crates and whatnot, asking some people. Eventually, someone's going to point towards the Shuffle Cup game.
I'm going to make my way over there.
And once again, guy in purple and gray outfit, sitting down across the table. There's 3 cups there. Behind him, there's a little table where it seems some sort of small whitish object was picked up and used as a souvenir for the cup game.
Hello, sir.
Yes, you would like to play?
No, there's a Pokemon. It lost its bone in the... I believe that's it right there, as I point to it.
He looks over his shoulder, looks back to you, make a persuasion check.
Okay. 17.
I'll give it to you, if you win it in a game.
All right.
Jorah's just like, don't worry, it uses the Gary pattern.
Do you say that?
No, for clarity, I do not.
50 Pokédollars, sir.
All right.
Go ahead, pay your 50 Pokédollars. Make a perception check. As these cups begin to float, you see the bone is put underneath one of them. These are larger cups so that it can actually cover the bone.
Yeah.
And then they begin to shuffle around without this man touching them.
That's a 13.
I think it's either the middle or the right. You're not sure which.
I'm gonna guess the right one.
Better luck next time, as the cup floats and the bone is underneath the cup for me. Good job, sir.
Thank you. You had me scared there for a second.
That's what us entertainers do. We keep you on the edge.
You certainly did that well enough. Thank you. Because I'm going to take the bone, and I'm going to go back to the backside of the tents and search for that Pokemon.
It looks like it climbed atop one of the tents and is looking off a little banner pole up there. Crow's nest-like, hand over eyes, just searching across the circus fair for wherever this bone may have landed.
I'm going to make my way over. I shout towards it, bestowing the bone in my hand.
Make a persuasion check.
All right.
With advantage, because you have the bone.
Okay. That's a 17.
Yeah, Adrian, you shout out. The runt turns its gaze starkly towards you. Just a very quick motion from the head with the hand still kind of crested above. And its eyes, stars, pop out just immediately sliding down the top of the tent and landing down in front of you. As it does, it's grabbing the bone and just like, ha!
I'm glad you've got your bone back. As I just want to reach my hand out, see if I can give it a high five.
Oh, you rolled a... You rolled a 17. It'll give you a weird high five. Actually, no. It'll ignore you and it'll give Silky a high five.
Yeah.
May I make a nature check to try to identify it?
Make a nature check, Jorah. Go ahead.
May I see if I know what it is?
Yes, you may.
Nat 20.
He knows.
That doesn't mean Desmond can't make a roll. Let Desmond make a roll.
You know, I'll let Desmond roll too.
Nat 20.
Jorah just looks over, nods. We both know.
And at once you both say, oh, it's an Axew. Oh. Though this one's weird.
This Axew is missing a tusk.
Missing a tusk that it's actually holding in its hand. And weirdly, immediately starts taking the rock and sharpening the tusk.
Oh.
Would we know the type?
You guys got natural 20s. It's a dragon.
No, Adrian, this thing's a dragon type.
It is?
Yeah, it's an Axew. From what I know, it evolves into something quite powerful. Though, what I also know is that tusk is supposed to be on its face. It's definitely been through something.
Is your tusk alright?
It's literally ignoring all of you as it's just sharpening this tusk. I will say, sparing you all the insight check, it doesn't look like it's upset about the tusk. It looks like it's happy to be sharpening it.
Okay.
It's weird, but it's an Axew.
I really want to try catching it.
That's what I was going to say. It's okay, are you going to challenge it to a battle?
I'm going to look towards it.
Win its favor?
Do you want to battle? Have some fun?
Make a persuasion check.
Okay.
Man, glad this guy bought so many Pokeballs.
That's a 1.
It waves its hand at you, Adrian. It doesn't care for you.
Damn. It's all right.
It's okay. You'll get them next time.
Plus, I mean, you already got a Pokemon for today.
Yes, I did.
There's a part of me that kind of wants to fight it with Cola, but at the same time, I don't want to take Dragon type since that's literally your thing.
I want to battle it with Silky.
Well, have at him, and I'll give him a little punch on the shoulder. I'm going to go get Funnel Cake.
Okay, how do you engage the battle?
I did not think of this. Silky's going to approach it and try and lure it out into the field to engage a battle.
Make a deception check, since you're luring and that implies some sort of deception.
That's an 11.
I will say, yeah, the deception holds up and leads the Axew out into the clearing.
Here's how I want to engage this. I want Silky to start playing, but as they start playing, it gets rougher until it turns into a battle.
Performance check. Okay. If you're low on this, it's going to backfire.
Okay.
You've kind of been towing a line with this Axew, and this could push it over the edge.
That's a natural 20.
Well, damn. Okay. despite going about this entire interaction the vaguely wrong way of trying to use your Pokemon to recruit this Axew by proxy, Adrian, somehow this works, and the two end up in a battle. Go ahead, we'll roll initiative.
Okay. That is a nat one for a three.
And this Axew is going to go first. As the battle turns into a proper fight, it's immediately with its little blade tusk, it's going to use Scratch. As holding the tusk knife in one hand, it slashes out towards Silky with Scratch. That is going to be a miss. That is a five to hit.
All right.
What is Silky going to do?
Silky's going to use Wrap.
Roll to attack.
That's a 12.
Yeah, 12 will hit.
All right. That's going to be 5 normal type damage, and it is grappled.
Okay. As it's grappled, it's its turn now. Axew's kind of caught up and wrapped in Silky, and it's going to use its best to use its mouth tusk to scratch at you one more time.
Okay.
That one, 15?
Yeah, that hits.
All right. You're going to take 5 normal type damage as the tusk slashes into Silky.
End of its turn, it's going to take 3 damage from Wrap.
Okay, Silky's turn.
Okay, how does it seem to be looking from my end?
So Adrian, make a medicine check to gauge where its HP is.
Okay. Ah, it's a 5.
You don't know.
All right, I'm gonna use Wrap again. Ah, that's only a 7.
Ah, that Wrap will miss.
It's all right. It's still wrapped from the previous one. That's Silky's turn.
Okay, as that second wrap fails, this Axew is getting upset, and I'm going to see if it can hit with Dual Chop.
Uh-oh.
Gaber is having none of it.
Dragon versus dragon, I knew it would be a volatile battle.
Missing both of the strikes, this Axew, in a temper, flares its tusk knife around and its mouth tusk around both of them. Somehow, whether it's the untrained discipline or just Silky's own luck, Silky is able to dodge both strikes. It is Silky's... Oh, no, it's the end of its turn. Go ahead, roll the wrap damage.
It just takes proficiency bonus plus strike, so it's 3.
Okay, so it's taken 11 overall. Okay.
Yep.
Adrian, it's your turn and Silky's turn. What are you doing?
I'm going to throw a Pokeball now.
Throw a Pokeball and go ahead and make a animal handling check for me.
I rolled a 13.
You're lucky. This thing loathes you and you manage to still capture it as the Pokeball clicks the Axew in the head. Ding, 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 click. You have caught yourself an Axew.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Hey, I'm holding out for like a Sandshrew or something. Something that gives me like a lot of type coverage to something I don't have.
Okay.
Your 3 Pokeballs rock. Monica's rocks, Silky's rocks, and this Axew's now rocks.
I'm going to send Monica.
Okay. Monica's Pokeball. You caught it. Never let her see the light of day again. And she gets sent into cyberspace.
Wow.
As you've got 2 dragon types on your team. As a note, wow. Just so it's not a surprise when you release Axew from the Pokeball, Axew's gonna have the hostile condition to Adrian.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little more difficult to command Axew.
Okay.
Axew's chill with Silky, not with Adrian.
Yeah.
Just as an expectation.
I understand.
You guys, you've kind of finished up your little shenanigans here in the circus. I mean, you realize if you want to make good time, you need to keep heading on through Route 35, or else you might not make it to your planned destination by the end of the day.
Let's carry on. Good job, Adrian. You're making lots of friends, I think. Let's go.
As you exit the clearing, heading along further into this last little stretch of daylight, I'm going to go ahead and describe how you guys are passing along the edge of a neglected arc. The road kind of takes you over a hill and just off, again, off to the left side of the road, down this hill in this little mini valley, not super deep. You see what was once a lush, flourishing national park here, with plenty of campers here, is now not so anymore. Not as many people camp here at this national park, and you kind of can gather that by taking in empty cabins, bonfire pits where there are no fires, empty campgrounds where there's only maybe 1 or 2 tents there, and lampposts and lamplights out here, even though it's far away, that are not lit, even as the sun is beginning to set and an orange glow is beginning to cast along sky. Somebody roll me a d12.
I'll do it.
All right.
7.
Go ahead, and as you're passing along the edge of a neglected national park, roll me a d20.
17.
All of you, as you're traveling along with your Pokemon, are going to notice. You're going to hear a scream of surprise and fear and startlement just up ahead to the left in the forest. It seems somebody's being frightened by something.
Oh boy, let's go see what it is, and I'll run.
Yep, Jor's right behind him.
Desmond, as you are faster in the wilderness, you will arrive there first. You're going to arrive at a makeshift campground where two campers are being harassed by a bee drill. It's not necessarily attacking them physically, but it's like buzzing around their campfire where they were cooking up some food. It's poking around their tent as it's like, why is this in my area? Get away. A bee drill is bullying two campers. And they're like, oh, you, help. Please! Our Pokemon, they're too tired from hiking!
Alright, Joe's gonna walk up and just... What do you say, Cola? Want to swat a few bugs?
I've already sent out Mistral.
Yeah, so before... I'll say Jora can join next round, but first round, I need Desmond. Roll me initiative.
Yeah, for Desmond?
For Desmond, because Desmond and Mistral have the same turn.
Yes. Okay. Just making sure. That is going to be... Drum roll. 19.
Right. Let's go.
And then if Adrian's a part of this, have him roll as well picks.
Adrian is not, as he was told Silky should take a break from battling. Just got through one.
Okay.
He'll join if it gets bad.
Okay. Then pop in whenever you have a roleplay thing. In that case, Jora, you can't be a part of this round. Mistral is actually going before this bee drill, Desmond.
Ooh, okay.
As you send out Mistral and this bee drill just immediately turns around and goes, bee!
All right. Mistral, use Trailblaze.
Go ahead and...
Even though it's not super effective. 6!
6 will miss! Mistral does a Trailblaze attack, grass energy pouring around her as she burrows towards this bee drill and misses. Anything else? Remember, Desmond has an action as well.
Yeah, Desmond is also going to... Sort of just get between, not near Beedrill, but he's going to get in the way between the people and the Beedrill where he's at.
I gotcha. Cool. Beedrill's turn. Beedrill is going to try and fire off a good old-fashioned fury attack. So.
Also, I totally forgot until this exact moment that Beedrill is poison type. Shoot.
Hey, we need poison type to fight those fairy types. I want it.
Wait, is it... It's... Okay, never mind. It's not flying type.
It's not flying. I'm going to roll all the attacks. What's Mistral's AC?
Oh, Mistral's AC isn't that great. 11.
11. Two of them hit, so I'm going to roll 2d4 damage on this. That's going to be 6 damage to Mistral.
Oh.
As two of these fury attacks strike and connect with Mistral. Top of the next round. Jora, you've arrived and seen this.
All right. First off, I would like to apply Cola's Intimidate ability.
Ah, yes. Sounds good. So it'll be harder for Beedrill to hit you guys.
So Cola rolls up and just... Next up, Screw Charging. We don't need charging. Actually, I'm going to use Charge. Charge. Concentration up to 1 minute. Roll electric type damage with advantage. If your concentration breaks, I cannot use electric type attacks on my next turn. It's a range of self that's like a buff.
Then Mistral... It's up.
Okay. I'll tell her to use Trailblaze again.
All right.
And she'll try again.
Try to hit with Trailblaze.
Try it one more time, Mistral. Trailblaze. And does my dex still go up temporarily even if I miss?
Yes.
That's going to be a 17 to hit.
Actually, does it if it misses in the game?
I don't know.
Okay, then no, it wouldn't.
Ah, darn it. I got a 17.
17 hits.
Okay. That's going to be 3 grass type damage.
Okay.
Are we factoring in quad weakness? Quad resistance.
No. Beedrill's still hanging around.
Yep, and that's not gonna do anything with Mistral's bonus action or my action. Just gonna stay in front of these people trying to, I guess, be a comfort, even though I'm also terrified of poison types. I pass.
Sounds good. Then, in that case, it is the Beedrill's turn. The Beedrill is going to buzz, 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 and it's going to try a poison sting at Mistral.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
Thanks to Cola's Intimidate, though, that's going to miss.
Yay! And good job, Cola!
Beedrill is going to kind of like shift away from the really electric dog. Hey, electric dog, it's your turn.
Cola, Thundershock! I roll to hit with advantage.
No.
Because of charge.
With charge, you roll damage with advantage.
Oh, damage. Okay, well, I still get a plus four of this, so we'll see. Does a 15 hit?
It hits. Roll damage with advantage. So you'll roll the damage twice, take the higher result.
Here's one. And can we get higher? Yes, we can. Seven electric damage.
Seven electric damage. A very strong shock to this speed drill.
And another static charge goes on to Cola.
Yeah. Mistral!
Mistral, trailblaze again!
Roll to attack.
16 to hit.
16 hits, roll damage.
Also, my AC is now 12.
Okay.
It's gonna be 2 damage.
2 damage, alright. Anything else?
Nope.
Beedrill's turn! You know what? This bad boy's gonna fire off Fury Attack Cola, honestly.
Uh-huh. Alright, remember, Intimidate's still going on.
Oh, I'm aware. What is Cola's AC?
Cola's AC is 12.
I think he's going to literally miss all 5.
Let's go! Let's go, Cola!
Cola, ooh, being charged and feisty, is just dodging and weaving all of these strikes from this Beedrill. Cola, it's your turn. All
right. So if Jorah does an action, can Cola still do an action?
Yeah, so when it's your turn in initiative, you get a turn and your partner Pokemon gets a turn.
Right. Can I try to deduce how hurt this Beedrill is?
Make a medicine check.
9 in total.
You're not able to tell.
Nice. Another Thundershock then.
Okay, blast it.
That's a 6.
A 6 will miss.
All right. Do I get another static counter?
I'm going to say if it misses, no.
Misses, no. Fair enough.
Mistral!
Mistral! Do you remember what stat I used to attack with Trailblaze? Is it?
I believe it's Dex.
Oh, so I have a better bonus now. I use Trailblaze again.
Go ahead.
14 to hit.
14 hits.
Heck yeah. Another 4 grass type damage from the tiny fairy.
As Mistral slams into this with another Trailblaze, I'm going to roll once again to see this Beedrill's aggressiveness. Yeah, this is causing more trouble than the Beedrill really wants. At this point, it is going to try to flee. If Mistral and Cola want to make another attack against it, that would be the time.
Yeah.
Can Jorah try to throw a Pokeball at it?
You can try.
I will try.
Okay.
I will use a basic
ball. What happens
for
first,
this.
The Pokeball or the Trailblaze?
I'll flip a coin. 1 to 2, Desmond goes first. Yeah, Trailblaze will go first.
Well, it's a 21 to hit.
Oh, that'll hit. Roll damage.
5.
5, okay. Damage. Jorah, I need you to make a Pokemon handling check. What'd you get?
Nat 20.
What's the total?
23.
Yeah. DC was 18.
Give me that.
You got a fully evolved Pokemon, man.
Congratulations, you have the first level 3 in the party.
Wow.
You see Jorah kind of like exhale. Didn't think I was going to make that.
The two campers are just going to look at you guys like, you caught that thing? Why would you catch that thing?
I mean, better to have an angry, stinging insect on your side.
He does have a point.
Definitely.
Well, weird choices aside. Thanks for helping us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Anything we can do to repay you? That was really... you really saved us, I mean. And they look around their campsite, and it's kind of been trashed by that Beedrill.
I need nothing. It's just something I felt I needed to do. Keep your reward. The name's Jorah. It's good to meet you.
Yeah, I'm Kelsey. This is my boyfriend, Henry.
Hello, Henry.
Henry's like, hello. Yeah, thanks, guys. That really helped. I'm not a big fan of Beedrill.
Oh, me neither, but... You know, I understand.
Fairly confident most people don't enjoy seeing a Beedrill.
They're too angry. Like, yes. Come on, we were just chilling out, man, making food. Why'd you have to come over here?
Beedrill don't really have a response for things that aren't a threat, so they consider everything a threat.
Yes. We're told to stay away from their hives.
I'm not used to having trouble with Beedrill because I grew up around a bunch of flying-type Pokemon.
Jorah's gonna go pick up that Pokeball.
Yeah, that'd be smart.
Good idea.
Just gonna take it, clip it onto my belt, and the nickname will be Busby.
That's a perfect name. Kelsey and Henry, thank you, and they go back to cleaning up their campsite, and they suggest, hey, if you're gonna camp anywhere, we suggest you find a spot now. It's getting late.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Be safe.
Yeah, we might be heading back to Goldenrod after this.
Buy some rappels.
Good point. As you guys are continuing on, a night is approaching. Are you looking for a campsite?
Yeah.
I don't think continuing to move through the night's a good idea. I'll find a place to
put up a tent.
Do you guys want to make a, we'll call this a nature check to look for a suitable campground?
Sure.
If someone wants to man that, and then somebody could help.
I am probably good at that.
Jorah has a +5 to nature.
Oh, well, you are better at it than me.
I would say Desmond has experience where, like, Desmond would have situational advantage on this. So
okay, cool.
It's kind of like Desmond could do it, Jorah could do it either way. I feel like RP-wise, it makes more sense for
Desmond. RP-wise, it should be Desmond. I'll let Desmond do it.
That makes sense. Okay, that is a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. So, Desmond, you're actually scouting around, just kind of climbing some trees, looking around for suitable campsites. There's a couple options, actually, that you end up discovering. Obviously, there is the national park down the hill that you could go to and pay for a campground there. It would be semi-monitored for safety, and there would be showers available in the, you know, your regular campground stuff. A fire pit already made. Less prep on your guys' stuff. There's also, you found a couple just spots amongst the trees where you guys could camp, just off the side of the road, not necessarily a proper campsite, but just something that you could makeshift if you wanted to continue on traveling just a little longer. Likewise, a little to the southeast of the road, you discover what looks to be a radio tower with a Pokemon Ranger flag flying above it. Flag maybe looks a little old, but there's potentially a Pokemon Ranger outpost that you could go to as well and have potentially a hostile situation there.
A hostile situation?
Like hostile or place to stay?
A hostile, a place to stay.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'll relay that to the group. And I want opinions. What do we want, guys? Do we think we should travel further? Do we want to stop at this, you know, the cushy place?
Realistically, how far away are we from where we need to be?
From Violet City? You're still a whole day's out.
All right. Let me write down that we're going to Violet City, because I did do that somehow.
I think we should go to the Ranger Outpost.
That sounds good.
Sure, why not? It'll be nicer than camping out.
Okay.
Let's go.
As you guys travel to the Pokemon Ranger Outpost, we will end things there for tonight.
That was a lot of Pokemon.
That was a lot of Pokemon. That was a lot of fun. Finally getting some battling under our belts.
With a long day of travel behind them and new friends in tow, our trainers set off for a Pokemon Ranger outpost to spend the night on their way to Violet City. What awaits them there, and will they find it as welcoming as they hoped?